This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Western New York race fans, it's time to crank it up.
Start your engine!
For the next hour, the airwaves belong to you. Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice big deep breath, buddy.
With your host.
Let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
Good morning, race fans. Just after 11 o'clock here on WGR Sports Radio 550, and welcome to another edition of WGR's Fast Track. I'm Dave Buchanan. Thanks for listening, as always, and happy Father's Day to all the dads out there, especially to my dad and my father-in-law. And you know what? Father's Day has obviously become much more important to me over the last couple of years. Not that I don't appreciate and love my dad and my father-in-law, but becoming a dad has obviously changed my perspective on life greatly. And, you know, I try not to talk about my daughter a ton on the show. I know a lot of other media people on different stations and national people, they like to talk about their kids constantly. And I try not to do that on the show, but if you allow me a quick moment, it's been the best 2 years. You know, she's just a little more than 2 years old, and, you know, having her in as premature and having her in the hospital for the first 3 months was a long, hard road, but you know, we are very lucky and fortunate. Ever since we brought her home, almost 2 years now, it has been the greatest. And the high point of my day has become walking in the door after working my day job and just hearing that "hi, Dada" that I get when I come home. And that has become my most favorite thing in the world. So just really fortunate, happy, and lucky to be a dad. And again, just a happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. And also just, without my dad, I wouldn't be doing this probably. I wouldn't have gotten involved in racing. I'd be a race fan watching on TV. I don't know. But without him taking me to the track and, you know, him working there got us to go out there. And that's how I got involved working here locally in motorsports. And without that experience, it gave me a big head start on getting involved in working at WGR and some of the stuff I get to do now locally with local racing. Without being able to start doing that at a young age and being engrossed in it at a young age, I still would have had to take a few more years to learn what I know now. Not that I know a lot, but I know enough where I can do this show and been a short track announcer now for almost 20 years. And without growing up at the racetrack like I did, I would have never had that opportunity. So thank you to my dad for that. And enough about me for today's show. I had to get out there since today is Father's Day here. Coming up on today's show, we've got a great one lined up for you. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, in fact, we're going to talk to Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series driver Corey LaJoie, who is in his first full season driving for BK Racing. His dad, of course, is Randy LaJoie, former two-time Xfinity Series, then Busch Series champion. And, you know, he and his brother Casey been growing up and moving up through the ranks of racing. Actually, Casey LaJoie is doing some race announcing now. He's a track announcer down in North Carolina. He's done some racing, but Corey has advanced a little bit further with his career and is now a regular driver pretty much in the Cup Series for BK Racing. So we're going to talk to Corey as he's in Michigan this weekend for today's Monster Energy Cup Series event, which you can hear right here on WGR coverage coming up at 2 o'clock this afternoon, courtesy of our friends at the Motor Racing Network. Also coming up on today's show, coming up at the bottom of the hour, of course, this time of year, we get revved up for the Salins 6 Hours at the Glen. So we've got another sports car driver to talk to, and this time we're going to talk to Andy Lally, who's also had some experience driving in NASCAR, former NASCAR Cup Series Rookie of the Year, in fact, back in 2011 when he drove for Kevin Buckler. But Andy, now back in sports car racing, he drives in the GT Daytona class for Michael Schenck Racing. And he and his team, along with fellow driver Catherine Legg, they're coming off a big win at Belle Isle in Detroit a couple of weeks ago with the IndyCar Series event. So we're going to talk to Andy about the Glen and just his season in general, and also get some thoughts on his time driving in the NASCAR Series. But things are getting crazy in the Cup Series. Maybe not crazy, but exciting to say the least. We've had another first-time winner in the Cup Series. We're up to three this year, and the latest is maybe a surprise, but Ryan Blaney got his first win last weekend at Pocono, and what a drive for that young man. I mean, it's one thing to get your first win like Austin Dillon got it on pit strategy, not knocking, you know, hit the accomplishment or Austin Dillon's talent, but to win a race on pit strategy or win a race on a rain-shortened event and you timed your pit stop right and were out in front when the red flag fell and they called the race and you win, that's one thing. But to do it like Ryan Blaney did, I mean, what a job. You chase down and you pass Kyle Busch, former champion, even though you might have had the fresher tires, you still had to pass him, and he wasn't given an inch. And then you had to hold off another champion in Kevin Harvick. Just a phenomenal job by Ryan Blaney. You know, there's another, just like Corey LaJoie, you know, Ryan is also a third-generation racer. His grandfather, Lou Blaney, his dad, Dave Blaney, his uncle, Dale Blaney, racing sprint cars in Pennsylvania, and of course, Dave, his dad going on to drive in the Cup in Xfinity Series for several years, but another multi-generational family. You know, even though Ryan had the last name, he had to earn his ride in the Cup Series. He you know, he earned every ride he got. No one was paying his way, like some of these other kids in the Xfinity and Truck Series. You know, Ryan had to earn all his rides, including this one with the Wood Brothers, with help from Penske Racing. So it was a great win, but it adds now another winner to the list of Cup Series winners here in 2017. And we're starting to get a lot of them. I mean, we're up to, well, 10 different winners, although 9 only truly count because Joey Logano's got that encumbered win, so that doesn't count. But that leaves us with 9 drivers with wins. They're in the playoffs. And you've got 7 right now, for now, 7 spots open to make the playoffs on points. And we still have 12 races to go in the regular season, including today at Michigan. So, and there are a lot of guys. And I know we've talked about this before, but you just going and looking into it. The guys that have zeros in the win column, it is unbelievable. I mean, you just, from third place on down, Kevin Harvick still doesn't have a win this year, which is amazing. Again, another second place finish for him last weekend at Pocono. It's a huge shock that Kevin Harvick hasn't won this yet this year. Same for Kyle Busch. All those close calls, you know, a couple of weeks ago at Charlotte and everything, you know, another guy that's had a lot of second place finishes and top five finishes this year, but just isn't, you know, just isn't having the luck this year at the end of the races. He's fourth in points. You know, he's getting stage wins and playoff points, but just the big overall win is not coming. So there's another guy. I mean, you look at Harvick and Busch, they're pretty much locked. They're going to be a lock, I think, on points, but that win and those playoff points that go along with it will go help them out a long way in the playoffs. And then you got Chase Elliott. And Chase, you know, Hendrick has had their struggles this year. I mean, look at the other three cars on his team last week, all had issues at Pocono, and he was the only one that got through the race at Pocono unscathed, pretty much. I mean, you had Casey hit the wall, you had Jimmy's scary losing the brakes and everything, and that hard hit he took, and then Junior with his transmission issues. The 24 car was the only car that finished the race for Hendrick Motorsports. And I thought, you know, Chase is coming back up. I thought things were going to go bad for him. I mean, he started the season out great. Another pole at Daytona, you know, then top five finishes at Atlanta and Vegas, solid finishes, Phoenix, California, Martinsville, Texas, Bristol, you know, all top 10, top 12 finishes. But then he went through a snag there, and I thought maybe this was going to be a sophomore slump for Chase. You know, 24th at Richmond, 30th at Talladega, 29th at Kansas, 38th at Charlotte. Not that that was his fault at Charlotte, getting caught up the part from, I remember the car fell off of, but that like went through his radiator, and so that, and then Keselowski had nowhere to go and drilled him from behind. That wasn't his fault, but I thought maybe that was going to be a rough patch for Chase and he was going to be able to pull out of it. But now he's got a fifth at Dover and an eighth at Pocono, and they're back to where they were at the start of the season. So maybe that was just a little hiccup in Chase's season and he can keep up the performance. If he continues to perform like he did at the start of the season, then he could probably you know, get in on points as well, too. He's currently sixth overall coming into today's race in Michigan. But obviously a win, especially his first win, because now he's seeing guys like Larson and Blaney and Stenhouse and Dillon, all these guys getting their first wins. And he's probably sitting there thinking, when is it going to be my turn? And all these, this young generation, I mean, he's probably, you know, looking to, he would love to get over that hurdle. So a win is probably due for him very soon. So, and Elliott, I mean, those guys, those three, Elliott, and then Harvick and Busch probably lock in on points. But after that, it's going to get a little hazy because you've got a lot of guys running right around each other in point standings. You've got McMurray, you've got Hamlin, you've got McMurray, Hamlin, Boyer, and then you've got Kenseth, who's way down. And look at those four names, all former winners, all have won big races in the Cup Series. They're still looking for their first win of the season. You've got Erik Jones, who is, you know, he's on an upswing. He started out a little slow, but he and the 77 team, I mean, look at, they finished 40th at Kansas, but since then, 9th at Charlotte, 4th at Dover, 14th at Pocono, even led a little bit. That was a little bit on pit strategy, but they're on an upswing right now is the 77 team. And, you know, a couple other guys that still have, you know, yet to win this year, like Daniel Suarez, who's also starting to pick up steam. Trevor Bayne, we saw a good start of the season. Is he on a downturn, or is he going to be able to pull out a win for Roush Fenway Racing? Casey Kane has yet to win. Dale Jr., of course, didn't even get this far and didn't even mention Dale Jr.'s name because he's so far down in the standings. You know, all these guys that are looking for their first win. So I think I just rattle off more than seven names. And actually, I want to correct myself on Erik Jones's finishes. I think I was looking at the wrong guy, but actually Jones finished 22nd at Kansas, but then 7th at Charlotte, 15th at Dover, and then a third last week at Pocono. So I want to correct that. I think I was reading the wrong driver stats, but still, I mean, that's a solid 3 weeks right there for a Cup rookie in a new team there for Furniture Row Racing, that second car. So like I said, Jones might be due for a win here soon. You know how good the 78 team is, similar equipment, and he's a pretty talented driver. So, but out of those guys, who's going to be the seven? And Joey Logano, that I didn't even mention. I overlooked him because, yeah, there's a one in that win column, but it doesn't count to make the playoffs. But luckily, Joey is he's 11th in points. So, although the 22 team has struggled, they could easily get on points as well, too. But he's going to need to win a race just to know. But when you get to Richmond, that he doesn't have to race his way in at Richmond because he'll have that win. It's just going to be amazing to see. And at this point, you know, usually at the start of the season, if somebody asked me, do you think they'll have 16 winners this year in the regular season? I would say no way. This year could be the year. The way things are going in the Cup Series, we could have 16 different winners. It's going to be pretty darn close because, I mean, you got to think Harvick and Busch are definitely going to win. Logano's going to win at some point. And out of the rest, that's three, four names, right? You know, that's three guys right there. So out of all the other names I mentioned, four of them probably are going to win. I mean, Elliott's due to win one. Hamlin, Gibbs has got to get on a hot streak here soon for Hamlin and Kenseth. You know, Boyer might need to get lucky to win one. And then you've got, of course, the big wild card races. You still got to go to Daytona, 4th of July weekend. That's got Dale Jr.'s name all over it. That's also got a wild card potential all over it where you get like one of those front row motorsports guys winning or, you know, whether it's a crazy finish or pit strategy or a rain-shortened race like I think it was Eric Almirola has done in the past. Chris Buescher last year, of course. You know, there's a wild card race. And you still got the two road course races. You got Sonoma. You've got Watkins Glen in August, of course. So, I mean, obviously A.J. Allmendinger leads that list of potential candidates. But that, again, is another event that really, you know, opens it up to a wild card winner potentially, whether it's somebody that, comes out of nowhere or just hits the right strategy and somebody off the wall just happens to steal a win. I mean, even I think Ty Dillon could even have some potential. That 13 team has shown some flashes this year that they could run up front. If they hit a strategy or they hit the right, you know, caution at the right time or a rain shortened race, they could sneak in there and steal a win, you know, kind of like Austin did at Charlotte with the pit strategy. Anything is possible this season. And it's great to see. I know, you know, people like to bash NASCAR and say it's boring, and they look at the seats, the empty seats, and the ratings going down. But I'm thoroughly enjoying the level of competition this year, the parity, and it's not even the stage racing that is not a big a factor for me. For some people, I know a lot of people just say they hate the stage racing. A lot of people say it's interesting, and I don't pay attention, but, you know, I kind of gloss over it. It's just part of the race, and it really doesn't matter to me who gets playoff points or whatnot. But just the overall product, I think, has been a lot of fun to watch because there have been so many different guys winning races this year or been in contention to win races, especially these young guys. It's so cool seeing even Larson. I mean, even though he's been around a couple more seasons than the Blaneys and the Elliots, it's great to see him a new face on top of the point standings for part of the season in Larson, seeing him run up there with Truex and Elliott and Blaney, and you know, and I'm dying to see Daniel Suarez do better. They've been playing catch up the first half of this regular season. I think they might hit their stride once they start going back to tracks for a second time. You know, there's another guy that could win a first race this year. So it's wide open, and I'm having lots of fun, and I hope you are having fun watching it and listening to it as well, because I think this could get really crazy. Come August, when we go to the Glen, when we go back to Michigan, when they go to Bristol for the night race, you know, this could set up a lot of fun in these last few races of the regular season. If guys literally will need to win to get in, because there's 14, 15, 16 guys that wins this year, they might, you know, I always say the chase made drivers crazy. End of the regular season might make drivers crazy this year. Well, joining us right now on the AT&T hotline is Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series rookie, piloting the number 83 Toyota for BK Racing. Corey LaJoy is on the line. Corey, it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. First off, just great to talk to you. Thanks for the time.
Thanks for having me on, and I'm excited for the weekend.
Yeah, heading to Michigan this weekend, and from what I can tell, it's going to be your first time racing up there in the Irish Hills of Michigan. What do you think about that big, fast 2-mile track?
I don't think a whole lot about it yet, because I've never been on it. you know, I know it's a big motor track and pretty reliant on aero as well. So hopefully, I'm sure the BK Racing guys brought me pretty good pieces here this weekend, and I'm excited to get there and learn the track and try to put together a good day.
When you go to a track like that for the first time, is there any way that you do prepare, whether it's just video or iRacing or some kind of simulation? Do you do anything to prep like that?
You can get on that iRacing. It's pretty realistic, or the TRD simulator. Mm. And the TRD simulator helps pretty good, but nothing can simulate actually real life. So
of course,
the simulator kind of knocks off the rust, and then just getting in tune with, you know, just the little nuances of the track, whether it be seams or banking and the way the track reacts to the weather. So it's all hearsay until you get out there and actually still feel what your car drives like, as opposed to some simulation car. So we'll see. I think we'll be good. We had some speed at California, so it's kind of similar.
Yeah.
Michigan's got a little more newer pavement, and hopefully that suits us well.
Well, of course, your first full season in the Monster Energy Cup Series, getting this full-time shot this year with BK Racing. Just how has it been so far to date? How much have you learned this year, and what's it just been like being a part of the Cup Series on a regular basis?
That was my dream growing up, was trying to be a Cup driver.
So sure.
BK to give me the opportunity to do that, it's huge. It hasn't been quite full-time. I got the bump out of the car a couple weeks ago at Dover. Particular reasons out of my control. BK is kind of week to week with just some drivers trying to shuffle around. They're trying to make on their end as well. So I'm kind of along for the ride. And if they keep putting me on the itinerary for the rest of the year, I'll keep showing up. But if not, I'll still support those guys.
Yeah, I was reading an article in the new Area Auto. You talked to Lenny Sammons. Is it true it's basically like a week-to-week deal between you and BK Racing?
Yeah, pretty much. Unfortunately, having a lack of job security is tough at times, but I've got a lot more than a lot of other people. So if Ron keeps on putting me in, and he seems like he's been behind me every step of the way, and there's just certain things, the decisions he has to make with his company that sometimes – do involve me and sometimes don't, but regardless, I'm fully supportive of what BK is doing. I'm trying to be a part of that and grow.
Sure. I noticed you got a crew chief change this week too. Randy Cox moving over to the 23 team. You're going to have Doug George on your pit box. I was going to ask you how big a deal that was for you, but then I went and looked, and it seems like you've had like four different crew chiefs this season. So that's kind of just par for the course, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, that's me and Randy are awesome. Randy's a top-notch crew chief, if you ask me. I think he deserves to be at any one of those big teams. But we were lucky enough to have him, and we actually didn't really have him. I didn't really have a crew chief for the same week until after the West Coast swing. So the first four or five races of the year, it was just kind of floundering and you know, somebody different on the pit box every week. And once me and Randy started getting on the same page and we started getting the cars driving like I needed them to, I felt like we've had a lot of pretty good speed the last couple of weeks. And, you know, we blew up Charlotte, which kind of sucked because we were shooting for a top 25 there. Might have even been a top 20 and run over something at Kansas. We were to finish top 25 there as well. But, you know, we'll just keep looking forward and trying to do what we can. And I am excited to have Doug George on the box this weekend. He's been my car chief for the last couple months. And, you know, he's had a lot of success in the truck series as well. So hopefully we can pull the rope same direction this weekend and see what it gives us.
What is your biggest goal here this season? Obviously, you know, besides, you know, getting to be in the car every week for BK Racing, but is it top 20 finishes? Is it top 25 finishes? Or are you just more concerned about getting as much seat time as possible and just learning and growing as a driver?
Well, I feel like I grow exponentially every week in the seat, just learning the track, learning the cars, you know, and trying to be a better driver and a better competitor on the racetrack. And it is hard if you're not out there every week, and those guys that are doing it, you know, sometimes twice a weekend with the Xfinity End Cup, and most of them guys are in, most of them guys are riding really fast horses. So I'm trying to take advantage of the opportunity that BK's given me, and you know, I feel like the goal is maybe not necessarily a position spot, but the only thing you can kind of go off of is the averages from last year with Matt driving, and the average, you know, starting position was 33rd, and the average finishing position was 31st. So anything above that is really and truly a good day. You know, a top 30, I guess, is you know, that's kind of what we're shooting for, and most of the time we can get that if nothing bad happens or nothing out of our control happens. You know, because we don't have the engineering help, we don't have the engines and stuff to rig up there and race with those top 20, 24 teams. But we want to be in top of our group. You know, and lately when all stuff is going our way, we usually are, and I'm proud of that.
Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series rookie Corey LaJoy joining us here on WGR's Fast Track. Corey, of course, your father is former Xfinity Series, back then Busch Series champ, Randy LaJoy. He's been out of the seat for a while, but how often do you turn to him for advice, and maybe not even on the track stuff, but just plotting your next career move? How much do you lean on him for advice and help?
Probably not as much as I probably should. You know, he's always kind of forced me to go and learn my own contacts.
Sure.
And kind of bounce some stuff off other people, because he's always going to be there. But every once in a while, you know, I'll ask him for advice on stuff. And I asked him this weekend because he won an IROC race here at Michigan. So I kind of asked him what to do around here. It's been repaved since then. But,
yeah.
You know, I try to lean on him sometimes. That way it makes him feel good.
I'm sure you had to get a kick out of seeing Ryan Blaney win last week at Pocono. He is very similar, somewhat similar background to you, a third-generation racer from a famous family, but, you know, scratched and clawed his way to a Cup Series ride just like you did. I'm sure, even though you would have liked to have been the one in victory lane, I'm sure it still had to make you pretty happy to see him win.
Yeah, no, Ryan's a badass dude.
Before we let you go here, Corey, just looking ahead for the rest of the season, what dates coming up on the Cup schedule are you looking forward to? Is it going back to tracks that you've already raced at, or are you looking to, you know, maybe get a new experience by getting to race the Brickyard later this year? What are you looking forward to next on the schedule?
Probably the track I'm looking forward to going to most is probably back to Bristol, back to Dover, places where I've been to before, just for the second time, knowing that you know, I got a little better source on these tracks, and knowing the balance I got to have in the car going back. You know, because normally we're, you know, because usually we start the car so tight. Because I've never been to those places, and by the end of the race, we're way more loose than we started the race, and we're way faster. So if we can start there, with that amount of speed, then we'll be better off.
Actually, I got one more thing. I'm sorry to drag this out, but this week there was a video going around on Twitter. It was a race your dad won. I think it was like the 20th anniversary. He won at South Boston in what was then the Busch Series. And, you know, Kevin Harvick earlier this year was talking about how the truck series needs to go back to more short tracks. I'm sure that would be something, if you had to run the Xfinity or truck series, I'm sure that'd be something you'd like to see as well, too, those series going back to more places like South Boston or you know, more short tracks like that around the country.
Certainly. You know, I'm right along Kevin Harvick with that thought of, you know, there's no reason why the trucks need to be going to Texas and Vegas on standalone trips. You know, they need to be going to the South Bostons and Motor Miles and Iowas and, you know, all those short tracks that are badass that are essentially kind of not showing very much love lately. So I think that it would even help the Cup Series. I understand all the commitments and contracts they have to the racetracks and stuff, but you know, fans like to see the tight racing and you know, bumping and banging and not necessarily single car racing.
Mm.
You know, and short tracks breed that. So I would like to see NASCAR lean more towards that over the next couple of years, and I think they do hear the fans in that regard, and I'm looking to see what Steve O'Donnell and those guys will do with the schedule here in the next couple of years. I know they're kind of shaking it up a little bit, and I feel like they're open for some more shakeups.
Very good. Corey, best of luck at Michigan and the rest of luck of the 2017 season. We appreciate the time. Hopefully we can talk again soon.
All right, sounds good. Thanks.
That is Corey LaJoie, Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series rookie. When we get back here on Fast Track, we got another driver coming up, Andy Lally, who drives in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. He's going to be at Watkins Glen at the end of the month for the Salem 6 Hours. So we'll talk to Andy Lally when we get back here on Fast Track on WGR.
Hi, this is Bubba Wallace, driver of the number 6 Leidos Ford Mustang. You're listening to WGR Sports Radio 550.
Just after 11:30 here on WGR Sports Radio 550 and Dave Buchanan with WGR's Fast Track on this Father's Day Sunday. Of course, coming up in a couple of weeks at Watkins Glen International. In fact, it's the weekend of June 29th through July 2nd. It'll be the Salem's 6 Hours at the Glen weekend. And that, of course, is capped off by the big 6-hour race on Sunday, but a busy weekend of racing all around there at Glen with several divisions of racing. And, of course, the headliners are the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championships, and one of the drivers in the GT Daytona class joins us on the line. He drives the number 93 Acura for Michael Shank Racing. Andy Lally joins us on the AT&T hotline. Andy, it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. It's great to talk to you.
Great talking to you, too. It's I'm looking forward to the race coming up, and can't wait to get this thing started. We just finished testing at VIR and learned a couple things about our Acura NSX and kind of have a pretty good direction. I think those two tracks relate decently, and we had a hot one here, so we had a hot, greasy track, and hopefully we'll probably see the same at Watkins Glen.
Watkins Glen, of course, went through that huge change last year with the repave. You're a veteran that's raced there plenty of times. How big of a change was it when you went there last year with the new pavement versus what had been down in the past?
I was really fortunate to go there with Derek Bale and Bob Varsha and do the ribbon cutting, and what a beautiful facility. It made the S's a whole lot easier, but the speed that we now carry out of the bus stop and into the outer loop is huge, and that carries more speed down to the laces and more speed into the toe. It also makes the final turns 10 and 11 that much faster. They took some of the old school curbing out and put some FIA stuff in, which, you know, for the fans kind of doesn't matter. For us, it's kind of a mix, because there was some little tricks and spots that you could use on the old curbing, but for the most part, even though the FIA is semi-useless, the ideas with the curbing is pretty darn good, and I commend Watkins Glen for spending what they're spending to make that an absolute world-class facility. It's my favorite track on the planet to race at, and I can't wait to go back.
Yeah, I've talked to plenty of drivers over the years, both in sports car profession, stock car profession, Indy cars, and I've never heard a driver say a bad thing about Watkins Glen International. At least nothing via the track's fault. They might have a challenge with one part of the track or another, but everybody just raves about what a facility, and just these improvements with the repave and everything have just made it that much more attractive to drivers all over the world.
And my favorite part, no hairpins. Everything is fast at Watkins Glen. You are hauling through. I mean, your slowest corner is double what a normal hairpin speed would be. So after that, everything else is flowing. The draft is big. The elevation changes are huge. The payoff for a good lap is enormous. It's a long lap. So, I mean, there's just – and it's New York, where I was born and raised. So really, really – always excited to be back there. I've been fortunate to win the 6 hours of the Glen three times. I made my NASCAR Sprint Cup or Monster Energy Cup now debut there, and I got my first top 10 in NASCAR there. A lot of really, really cool moments have happened there, and it's a proud place to go to because of Michael Printup and all his staff that work hard to make that a top-notch facility, not just for the NASCAR weekend, but for everybody else that goes there and the fans.
I agree. And with Watkins Glen, they know. I mean, yes, the big name race around the country is NASCAR, but they've really, for them, it's a big three. They've got NASCAR weekend, but they're very proud of the 6 hours, and plus the addition of the IndyCar race now Labor Day weekend. It seems like, just in my dealings with Michael Printup and everybody at the Glen, they treat all three of those events equally.
Absolutely, and you see it in fan turnout.
Yeah.
You know, when you've got a facility like that. If you've never been to the Glen, if you're listening to this, you're close to the Glen and you've never been to the Glen, get up there for one of those weekends. Even if it's not our weekend, for the IMSA weekend, get up there. The camping is cool, the facility is cool, and on top of all of that, like a mile and a half away is Main Street of Watkins Glen, mm-hmm. which has got the coolest little village. Great restaurants, cool little bars, and then you've got the neatest gorge in the world to ever hike up. It's literally a destination where you'd love to get in there 2 days early or spend another 2 days late. You know, for me, I want to spend there 2 days late so I can enjoy the town and not sweat what's coming up. I go visit the farm sanctuary, which is only like 7 miles from the track. It's just the whole area. If it didn't snow so much over the winter, I could buy a house there.
Well, we'll send your address to the New York State Tourism Board, because this is a pretty good commercial we're doing.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your season so far this year, and you're coming off a really high point of your season, a win, of course. You got the victory at Belle Isle, you and your teammate Catherine Legg. How was the first couple races of your IMSA season with you and your Michael Shank racing team?
Before Detroit, I would probably have declined talking about my season to this point, but we had a rough one, man. We had an amazing Daytona where we led 170 of the 600 laps between the two cars, but unfortunately, we didn't finish the race. With 25 minutes to go, we launched a gearbox, which was only really in reaction to there was contact at like 4 o'clock in the morning. I'd never actually heard exactly what happened, but we damaged a piece on the nose, and eventually that piece flew off.
Oh.
It caused some overheating, and one thing led to another, and it was overheating the transmission. But our sister car still came home fourth, an amazing finish for the debut of the Acura. Our sister team, Real Time Racing, has been doing really good. But Catherine and I in the 93 car have had mediocre results, like a seventh at Long Beach after probably going to finish on the podium, a 10th place finish at Austin, where we should have been better. But then Detroit comes along, and everybody does their job, and they do it perfectly. Catherine sticks it on the front row, has an amazing first stint, passes it to me. Mike Shank makes a great strategy call. And we leapfrogged from second to first on the pit stop, and then we were able to hold them off and take the win. And so that was the first ever win worldwide for the new Acura NSX, and it was a proud moment, and it was a relief as well, because I know the Acura people needed that win, and Kat and I be able to the first two drivers to bring it to them, and Mike Shank, I know, was proud. It was a pretty amazing moment, and it lifted what was a tough start to a year to now giving us a little wind in our sails to go for more podiums and more victories.
You mentioned, of course, at Watkins Glen, you love it so much because it's high speed and no hairpins. So how does racing on street courses like Belle Isle rank in your book? I'm assuming not, you don't like it as much as the Glen.
Well, see, the street circuit takes a whole different... I'm not a mega fan of slow corners like that,
uh-huh.
but I like true street circuits with walls on the inside and the outside. And yes, it's not as safe, but man, you cannot make a mistake. It forces you when you're trying to drive. You know, we've got these, you know, Mossport and a handful of, you know, Coda's the worst, you know, just miles of asphalt at the runoff. And what people do is they start at 110%, they fly off the track, they back it down to 109%, and finally they get to a point where they're at 100% and they're staying within track limits and not getting drive-through penalties or whatever. But there's no penalty for that. There's no grass to go sliding through. There's no, you know, I don't want people getting hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want them hitting walls. I don't want them whatever. But, and Watkins Glen is like this, man. You drop a wheel, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Detroit, there is no dropping a wheel. You turn in too early, you track out too late, you're in the wall. So, those are exciting things to me, to where it forces you to be darn near perfect. And so the street circuits I admire. They're cool. They're a whole different challenge, a whole different mentality, but also fun in their own right.
Andy Lally, sports car driver, joining us here on WGR's Fast Track. Andy, you alluded to it earlier, but I just want to ask, your season in NASCAR, what was it like being part of that scene and the circus that is being part of the NASCAR Cup Series for a year compared to your years in sports car racing?
I loved it and hated it at the same time. It is my favorite kind of racing. Like if I was just a millionaire and I could choose whatever I wanted to do,
yeah,
and money didn't matter, I'd be running the Xfinity Series, maybe trying to do Cup. I got a shot at Cup after literally doing a total of like 12 stock car races.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did three ARCA races. I got 7 truck races in. And I did 2 or 3 Xfinity races.
Mm.
And then I did a deal to do a start and park for like 5 races. We did okay. We qualified for those races. It was with a small underfunded team. Nothing, these guys work just as hard as Hendrick and Gibbs, but they just don't have the funding behind them. So it's like getting a chance to step up to the plate at Yankee Stadium and they hand you a wiffle ball bat. But regardless, with that wiffle ball bat, you've been wanting to do this all your whole life, you're going to swing at that pitch. And I did. You know, and I had a blast. And since then, I've been very fortunate to get some rides here and there for the road courses in the Xfinity Series.
Yeah.
I'm trying to actually land a sponsor to do the Mid-Ohio race. We're going to do the Mid-Ohio race in the number 07 SS Green Light Racing Chevy coming up. And I love it. It's cool. We're trying to put some names on hood to make it more possible, let the team buy some more tires and get the good engine and the good brakes and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But it's exciting racing for me, so I keep trying to do it, and I'm fortunate to do 1 or 2 a year.
How was that? Was it Mid-Ohio last year they raced in the rain with the Xfinity?
Yes.
How was that?
That was awesome, man. And that's the race I'm going back to, is Mid-Ohio this
yeah.
year. I got to race with Mario Gosselin. Great guy, gave me a shot to just come in last second and sub for him. Bobby Dotter actually talked to Mario and said, "Hey man, if you need a kid, this is a good guy." And we finished 7th in the rain, but we led 3 laps,
mm-hmm.
3 or 4 laps, something like that, in the mix as everybody was kind of crisscrossing up. We made a really good call to go to slicks before anybody else did,
mm-hmm.
and that paid off with us getting the lead. We lost our windshield wiper, our defogger, and pretty much our entire windshield at the end of the race there. But it was an awesome event. You know, that's my 3rd top 10 in at a last 5 starts in the Xfinity race. So I've been fortunate to have some really good results, and it was cool. It was awesome. Those cars in the rain are pretty wild. They don't handle as good as that Acura NSX in the rain, but they're still fun.
No wiper, no defroster. What was the spotter telling you where to drive the car at that point, or...?
My crew chief told me when to brake for turn 1. I said, "Tell me when I'm count me down to the 300 marker." And then my other spotter in the keyhole, I said, "Count me down to the 400 marker." And then my spotter down in turn 7, I said, "Count me down to the 600 marker," because I was literally looking out the side windows. And I've driven Mid-Ohio for 20 years at that point. And it's one of those things where you say you can do it blindfolded. It's tougher than you think.
That's a great story. Hey, Andy, last thing before I let you go. You're from Northport, New York, Long Island guy. Any memories of going to Riverhead Raceway, Islip Raceway, into the short tracks out there?
I never made it to Islip, but I raced go-karts at Riverhead.
Okay.
And I really great, one of my best friends back in the day, his name is Craig Seaman, used to run a blunderbuss car up at Riverhead, so I would go and pick crew for him.
Oh, cool.
And we had some good times there. I raced Bridgehampton before that closed, which was awesome. That would be before I understood what motorsports safety was. I raced at Bridgehampton, which is sand traps on the outside of everything and woods and trees, and it was amazing how crazy that place was and how ignorant I was to what the possibilities of how bad it could go. So there's some cool racing on Long Island. I wasn't around when Islip was still in play, but there's some people might not think that there's a lot of racing down there, but that's where I got my bug.
Yeah, there's the Riverhead Raceway. Not that I've been there, but short track guy, modified guy, I know very well about Riverhead Raceway, and it looks like a fun place to go check out some racing. Andy, thank you so much for the time. Thank you for the stories, too, by the way. This was a real treat for me here in about mid-Ohio and growing up on Long Island. Best of luck at the Salem 6 Hours at the Glen coming up at the end of June, last weekend in June, first weekend in July there, and best of luck on the rest of the IMSA schedule this year.
Thank you very much. And if anybody following along wants to find me on social media, on my Instagram, it's just Andy Lally Racing. So it's some non-politically correct posts every once in a while, but for the most part, we have fun, and I post a lot of pictures of race cars.
Very cool. Take care, Andy.
Thanks, buddy. Have a good one.
And we get back, we'll wrap up this Father's Day edition of Fast Track here on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hi, this is Eric Jones, driver of the number 77 5-Hour Energy Camry, and you're listening to WGR Sports Radio 550.
Wrapping up this week's edition of Fast Track here on WGR Sports Radio 550, I'm Dave Buchanan on this Father's Day Sunday. Once again, happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. Coming up here at 2 o'clock on WGR Sports Radio 550, we will have live flag-to-flag coverage of the Firekeepers Casino 400 from the Michigan International Speedway. Race coverage starts at 2 o'clock, green flag just after 3 o'clock this afternoon on WGR, courtesy of our friends at the Motor Racing Network. I love the name Firekeepers Casino 400. I think that's the second time this year we've had a Firekeepers Casino-sponsored race. I think the race in Kansas was called that, too. So they must have plenty of money there at the Firekeepers Casino. I'm sure they do. But you can catch that right here in WGR if you're out on the patio today or driving to your dad's house or visiting dad. If you're in the car, you can catch the race right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Usually this last segment is the local racing roundup, of course, but can't do it because this show has been pre-recorded on Thursday. If you haven't figured it out already, I did this show on Thursday, so I can't predict the future. So I apologize, but no local racing results this week. If you are looking for a certain track's results, you can get a hold of me on Twitter at FastTrack550 or through our Facebook page at WGR FastTrack on Facebook. And feel free to ask if you're trying to figure out who won at a certain track. I could try and point you into that direction, point you in the right direction to figure out who won at a track you might be interested in case you missed it. There is racing, though, on this Sunday, on this Father's Day Sunday. You can head over to the Humberstone Speedway. They're in action tonight, 6:30 start time. Weather permitting, of course, they've got a full card of racing, and I believe they have a demolition derby, too, this weekend at Humberstone Speedway this evening, so be sure to check that out. But I urge you to make sure you check out their social media or website before you go. Make sure they haven't canceled, because again, I'm saying this pre-recorded in advance. Also, the Weed Sports Speedway is in action tonight. If you feel like heading a little bit farther east, they've got their rescheduled big block, small block shootout for the modifieds. Just $10 to get in. That's a pretty good deal to see what I'm sure is going to be a great show at the Weed Sports Speedway. If you haven't had a chance to check that place out, I haven't been in a few years, but I know with the Hankies and the Phelps families involved, that place is quickly becoming the crown jewel of Central New York dirt racing with the improvements they've made over there. They've also got another great show coming up the following Sunday, June 25th. They've got a wingless sprint car show. You don't get many of those here in Western or Central New York. I know a lot of the sprint car teams that run out of the Central New York area with the Patriots or the Empire Super Sprints, I think some of those guys are going to get involved in some of the other sprint car series in the area. So that should be a fun show, too. That's the following Sunday there at the Weedsport Speedway, the old Cayuga County Fairgrounds. And then, of course, coming up in about a week or so, the last week of June is pretty busy here in Western New York for local race fans. You've got a Monday night show, June 26th at Ransomville. They've got a full card. It's kind of to make up for all their rainouts they had earlier this year. So it's a full race program, all their weekly divisions, including the modifieds. It's also Dollar Hot Dog Night, too, so cheap eats and see some racing. That'll be Monday night. And then the following Thursday, June 29th, Lancaster has a special Thursday night show. It's the third year in a row they've done this. The Old Boy Cup 60, the Bill Colton Memorial Race for the Race of Champions Modified Series, 60-lap dash pretty much for the modifieds. It's the shortest race on the Race of Champions Modified schedule, and it's always a really good show with four divisions, so you can check that out at Lancaster on the Thursday, June 29th. That's a 7 o'clock start time. And, you know, speaking of the Race of Champions series, that's why this show is pre-recorded this week, because I was down at the Jennerstown Speedway on Saturday night announcing their event. So that's quite the travel back and forth. It's about a 4.5-hour ride. So that's why I couldn't make it to the studio on time here this morning to do this show live. So I apologize. And we will make it up to you next week. And again, next week, you know, we'll continue to talk about the ever-increasingly exciting NASCAR season. Sonoma next week, the first of those wild card races that we talked about, you know, where there could be an opportunity for an A.J. Allmendinger to get a win, or, you know, somebody else could use the right pit strategy. It's going to be... We saw a little bit of Pocono last week, more so in the Xfinity series, but with the stages and guys using that to pit. Now, you know, crew chiefs always kind of plan road course races backwards. So now that they know they're going to have at least two cautions in that race at Sonoma, I'm sure it'll make for some interesting pit strategy. And with how big those tracks are, of course, they can pit and not lose a lap. So that could be fun, and I'm sure we'll have more to talk about on next week's program. One other NASCAR note before we go, Brad Keselowski this week, he did a conference call with the NASCAR media, and he is technically a free agent for next year. Doesn't have a new contract with Penske, although he was very positive about staying with the two car for next season, but... You never know. With the holes at Hendrick, at least a seat, maybe two seats. Could he wind up back there? I doubt it, but it's just fun to play devil's advocate. But once those silly season dominoes start to fall, it's going to be, I think it's going to be wild when you get that first announcement and then everybody else is going to start scrambling, whether it's whoever they announce, whoever's going to drive the 88 next year, or if we get some kind of confirmation that a Casey Kane or a Danica Patrick or a Matt Kenseth even might not be back in their respective rides for next year. It could definitely throw a lot of things up in the air and make this summer of drama, which it's shaping up in NASCAR, I think it'll be even more dramatic. So we'll look forward to that, talking more about that next week. And also, of course, all the other series of racings that we cover here on the program. IndyCar back in action next week at Mid-Ohio. NHRA is headed to Norwalk, Ohio in a couple of weeks, too. So we'll talk about that on next week's show. Thanks for listening, and happy Father's Day once again. And have a great one here on WGR.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.